Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chief political reporter for the Chicago Tribune. I love using Chief because I feel like you've been here forever. It's Rick Pearson. It's great to see you.
There are days when it feels like I've been here forever.
I never get to see you. By the way, you had my cousin Ray LaHood on yesterday.
And a great time as always. I mean, I've known Ray for 3 decades, and he spanned this period of politics of civility to politics of incivility, and has a lot of things to say about it.
Did he have anything to say about Roy Moore?
No, he did not.
He did not.
I didn't necessarily bring it up, okay. Only because, I mean, there's enough going on with the people that are still in power
right.
over this issue.
Well, Mitch McConnell said today that he believes the women now. So what happens to the Senate candidate, Roy Moore? What happens to him?
So Roy Moore's response on Twitter, the person who should step aside is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He has failed conservatives and must be replaced. Hashtag drain the swamp. So, and even as we speak, noted attorney Gloria Allred is having a press conference right now with a woman who says that she also was improperly accosted by Roy Moore several years ago.
So is that 5 women now?
That I believe is 5.
And they were all teenagers at the time when he was 30.
Right. And, you know, there have been subsequent reports since the Washington Post broke this story about people who are acquaintances of Roy Moore, and they're speaking for the record. This isn't one of those anonymous sources type thing. These are people saying where he was dating in his 30s, he was dating teenagers, and people thought that was very odd of him. And so that's kind of where everything sits right now.
Well, that is very odd if you're 30 years old and you're asking teenagers on a date or to do different things.
Right. So now we're in this position where the special election is December 12th.
For Alabama, because Jeff Sessions is now a
right.
member of the
and
cabinet.
You just brought up a name that's coming back because some in the White House are suggesting that if Moore is forced off the ballot or runs and is persuaded not to serve, that the governor of Alabama appoint Jeff Sessions to leave the White House and return to his Senate seat.
Well, who's running against Roy Moore?
It's a Democrat.
And how close is the election?
The election, various polls have had it 50-50, only because of the, on the wave of these stories about Roy Moore. But it's still largely viewed as a Republican seat. And,
right.
I mean, there's talk about, the amount of write-in. Luther Strange was the kind of establishment Republican that lost to Roy Moore in the primary. Do you write in Luther Strange? But then Republicans saying, well, that could split the Republican vote and ensure a Democratic victory.
You've been covering politics forever. This seems like it's the craziest time as long as I can remember.
It's and just the breadth of the sweeping nature of these issues around revolving sexual harassment in politics. And obviously, an offshoot of the Weinstein thing. But, when it reaches, it reaches Springfield, obviously they were dealing with that during the veto session. It's in Washington. It's international. There are issues involving Parliament in Great Britain mm-hmm. over this same kind of thing. And it is a very, very interesting time to see, women kind of asserting their role in society.
Do you think Roy Moore is going to step down or he's going to go all the way to the special election in December?
I don't see him stepping down, and there's been no indication of it. They're actually using this to fundraise off of, saying that this is, fabricated. There is no evidence here that this is a conspiracy, and it's a conspiracy. What I like is it's a conspiracy aided by the liberal media and the establishment Mitch McConnell Republican. I've never seen them on the same side, against, the Steve Bannon and the the politics of chaos that he encourages.
When Mitch McConnell spoke out today and he said, I believe the women, don't you think that the Republican Party in Alabama should go talk to Roy and say, Roy, maybe it's just you should step down for the good of the party?
But it's the Republican Party in Alabama that's been his strongest supporters through all of this. I mean,
what is going on
repeatedly
in that state? That's what I don't understand.
Well, and look, there's a bit of culturalism, obviously, when people look at Alabama and look at the South, and it becomes almost a punchline for some people,
right?
About, you know, a backwards kind of state kind of thing. But, you know, these are very serious allegations here, and
5 different women at different times
by name,
right?
And they're all, you know, they're using their own name,
right?
And speaking of this, and to think that this was some kind of, I mean, I read through the Washington Post's initial story, and basically they did on-the-ground reporting. They had heard rumors of this, and they tracked down the women, and the women agreed to speak. And these women are not Democrats necessarily. They're, you know, they admit they voted for Trump. They're, you know, Trump supporters.
When I first heard about this story, I thought, okay, here we go. Now it's going to start happening. You saw it in Hollywood. Now it's going to start happening in the political world. You think we're going to see more of this?
I do. I absolutely think we will.
Well, it gives people strength in numbers to come forward and
which is why you have the latest woman today coming forward. Is she said, I never would have done this except for these 4 others that led the way.
With the Roy Moore story and the Russian story, are you ever shocked by anything, or it's like, okay, here we go, it's another day in politics?
I would say, I mean, it's always a learning experience, but with truly from the advent of the Trump election, even the Trump candidacy and nomination, you can't be surprised by anything.
Joe Biden was on the Today Show. I saw part of it, and he's just such a likable guy. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, he's a likable guy. And he never ruled out running for president.
And I don't think he will. And
he's 74. Well, he turned 74 this month, right?
Right, right. He said he would be, you know, 77 at election time.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you how Joe it's gaffe prone Joe, and how, you know, in the formulation of if he were to have run in 2016, how that was viewed as a humility issue, basically, and that,
right.
that was kind of an attachment to him. But I've been in coffee houses when he's run for president out in, I remember one time in Pella, Iowa, there were 12 people at a coffee house, and this when he was running for president, and he spoke for 3 hours. And that 3 hours included an hour and a half where he answered 2 questions from the audience.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, there's
wow.
a... He knows how to filibuster pretty well. He knows
yes.
how to tell a story.
Years in politics. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the president in China. We're going to talk about Tony Preckwinkle. We're going to talk about the tax bill and so much more.
Very good.
At Rap 40.
30.
At Rap 30. I'm sorry. Rick Pearson. At Rap. I follow you on Twitter. You know that because I respond to you. At Rap 30 on Twitter.
30 was the old code in telegraphy that meant end of story.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Rick Pearson
right.
in studio from the Chicago Tribune. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us from the Chicago Tribune, it's Rick Pearson, the president of the United States. Is he back from Asia?
No, not yet.
He's in the Philippines?
He's in the Philippines.
Okay. Right. He took off for Asia. He was in China last week. Will the meeting with China help with talks with North Korea?
I think there is, you know, the basis of a relationship there. But, you know, you've seen this kind of whiplashing of the president in regards to China. And he talks about how President Xi is, you know, we have a great relationship, that kind of thing. And he's trying to
Xi
do the
Jinping.
Right thing. Yes.
President Xi Jinping.
But you should also note that apparently he talked to him about the UCLA basketball players and the shoplifting issue that
oh
was also
God.
Brought up.
Oh, my God. Well, the players are still there. The team
well,
is back.
Yes. Yeah, so,
that's right.
So, yeah. So North Korea took a little bit of a sideline today to talk about that issue.
Here's my point. Trump had such harsh words for China during the campaign.
Right. China.
When he was in China, he was like he was best friends with the president of China,
well,
Xi Jinping.
You remember the quote about how I don't blame China for taking advantage of us because that's what a country should do.
Well, then he goes to Vietnam and throws China under the bus again.
Right.
So what is China
well, that's
thinking?
What I mean about
because
this...
we need their help with North Korea.
Right. And that's that whiplashing that I talk about.
Right.
Is that, I mean, certainly China knows it has a responsibility in trying to keep North Korea nuclear weapon free. That's understood. But there's also the mutual, actually it's not even mutual, it's more the dependence the North Koreans are on China for exports. Same, quite frankly, with Russia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ideal thing is, okay, sanctions, you cut off the trade and you make North Korea bow to you. Well, it's not as simple as all of that. That's the way the president likes to describe it. And that's really where the devil is in the details when it comes to where things go further. But at the same time, you're trying to enlist this cooperation. Then you're back on Twitter saying, you know, why are the North Koreans calling me old? I don't call him, you know, fat and short.
The president of the United States tweeted on Saturday, "Why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat? Oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen."
Which I thought was interesting, that the issue that he took was that it was being called old, because he was called an old lunatic.
In parentheses, yes.
He was called an old lunatic, but yes. It's the issue of old that apparently treated the, you know, that needed a response to.
People listen to what leaders say, and I know this is expected now. President Trump goes on Twitter and throws someone under the bus, or we can always expect something on Saturday. But this isn't the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't accept this.
Well, words, I mean, to me, that's part of, I mean, part of being a journalist is words used to matter.
There's a certain dignity to the office of the president of the United States.
Well, that's why it's kind of very interesting. There's a website that actually, since Sean Spicer once declared that the president's tweets are official White House statement, that they take his tweets and they put it on White House stationery. To, you know, this is there's an element that enjoys it. It's the base that enjoys it, because
right.
it's not doing things the conventional way, and that's why he does it. It's not doing things the conventional way. But part of politics has always been in the past, aside from the rhetoric, is to try to grow your base.
Right.
And there's no sign really of growing any base here.
Let's talk about Tony Preckwinkle.
Well, we've got Bob Fioretti, the former alderman, the one-time mayoral candidate. Has thrown his hat in the ring to run for Cook County Board President, obviously trying to seize on the unpopularity of the soon-to-be-repealed sweetened beverage tax.
How long has Tony been in office?
Oh, good question.
8 years?
Yeah, I mean, since defeating Todd Strozier.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember when she was running, she said she's not going to raise taxes.
Well, she said she actually was going to repeal, at that time it was the Strozier tax
that made the local
sales tax so high.
Right.
Since then, it did come down, but then it was propped back up to that very same level. And then we had the sweetened beverage tax. And it makes her extremely vulnerable.
Right.
I mean, everybody talks about hating taxes and you hate your property taxes, but there was something about that sweetened beverage tax that just...
Well, they nickel and dime us everywhere in Cook County.
Well, and...
And in the city.
And I think it was the fact, too, that it was on your register receipt.
Oh, yeah?
So, that add-on was marked as a separate line, and it just kind of... Every time you went to the grocery store and you bought some pop... It was right there staring at
you. Well, they tried to market it that pop's not healthy for you. You're having too much sugar. And, of course, they just wanted the money. But why was Mayor Bloomberg behind all those commercials?
Well, if you remember.
Where did that come from?
Well, if you remember back when he was in New York, you know, he tried to do the 7-Eleven tax and tax the big soft drinks there.
Oh.
And that was struck down by the courts. But. Here was a case of mixed messaging. Preckwinkle never said this was about health. She was pretty upfront that this was about money. This was about money for county operations, a bulk of which is the health care system.
Right.
It was Bloomberg running the TV ads, mm-hmm. millions of dollars worth of TV ads, that sought to make the link that this was about health. And then you've got the issue of, well, but you're taxing diet pop.
Right.
You're not taxing just sugar drinks.
Everything.
You're taxing anything. And then the misapplication of how it was applied, all of that just created this massive issue that it had to go.
Fioretti, does he have a chance against Preckwinkle?
Well, she is vulnerable. And in talking to some Democrats privately, recognized Democrats, there have been issues about getting her petition signatures signed for candidacy in certain parts of the city. That's not a good thing. And so I think she's extremely vulnerable as it stands right now. And here is somebody who ostensibly should have no reason not to think you're going to get another term.
Right.
Now playing defense in a case where she wouldn't normally be playing that role. And so it's going to be interesting to see that. It's also going to be interesting to see if Fioretti can actually raise the money to mount a credible campaign rather than just being the other.
Right.
Quite frankly, if you're a Republican in Cook County, I would think there is an opportunity there to field somebody to run for Cook County Board President, only just because of the vulnerability and uncertainty.
When I see Fioretti, I immediately think Clutch Cargo. Remember Clutch?
The mouth?
I just feel like they look alike, you know? I can't get past that. I don't know why.
I'll have to mention that.
We're out of time. We didn't even talk about the tax bill. Do you think what's going to happen with that real quick?
Well, in talking to Ray LaHood, he doubts that it's going to be done by the end of the year. And if it spills into 2018 and
it's
all of the election issues, no.
Forget it.
Right.
So the Democrats are just going to draw everything out until the midterms, aren't they?
Well, that's their game plan. There's no incentive right now for
them to
do anything.
Rick Pearson, follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow, at Rap30, and of course, read him in the Chicago Tribune. Great to see you, buddy.
Thank you, as always.
And I'm sorry about your Blackhawks last night.
Oh, don't. You see, everything went fine, and then you got to bring that up, didn't you?
It's Pete in for John Williams, 720 WGN.